Hypothenenos hampei is a nasty little creature by just about any standard. The coffee berry borer, which originated in Africa and has begun to gain a foothold in Hawaii, leaves destruction to a valuable crop in its wake. A new effort is underway to get rid of this pest before it can do some very real damage, and Dr. Eric Jang, who heads up the initiative, is on hand to tell us more. Good morning.
Good morning.
How entrenched, if at all, is the coffee berry borer at this moment?
Currently, the coffee berry borer is present only on the Big Island in the Kona region, although there is some reports that it possibly has been found in Kau on occasion. But it's as far as we know, it's only on the Big Island.
Well, that's the worst possible place for them to be, because that's where much of the coffee is, right?
Correct.
So how do we, it's a little bit hard to know exactly how intense the numbers are at this point. How do you make a survey like that?
Well, surveys are done in a number of different ways. One of the primary mechanisms for survey is actually looking at the crop that's being damaged and making a direct assessment of the number of beans that are infested or damaged. A secondary method, which is used quite widely throughout the world, is the use of traps and attractants. And with the coffee berry borer, there are some attractants that can be used to monitor the presence of the insect, and those are valuable in, you know, just making sure that you don't have the pest, or if you do have it, that it's there, but not necessarily numerically. You're not able to really tell population levels per se, just that there's a lot or there's a few used in trapping. So a combination of both methods are ideal for identifying what the level of damage is to your crop.
At this point, you couldn't set enough traps to get rid of them, but you can at least find out where they are and in what concentrations, right?
That's correct. The technology for the coffee berry borer with trapping is not sophisticated enough to do that. Now, with other insects, we do have methods for doing that, but with the coffee berry borer, the attractants that we have are just not quite there yet.
What are the soundest eradication methods available to you at this point?
Well, I think that the problem with you know, thinking about eradication once the insect is fairly firmly established, as we think it is in Kona, is that it's difficult, costly, and we may not be able to attain eradication. The best we might be able to do at this point maybe is to develop sound, sustainable control measures, which would be the kinds of things that the programs that are being initiated here on the Big Island are focused on.
So we're already thinking about control measures, meaning that there is going to be a certain population that we're just not going to be able to get rid of?
Yeah, barring some new scientific information or some new methodology that comes forward, it appears that that's what we're looking at. And the reason we say that is because the coffee berry borer is present in many other countries, and Hawaii happens to be almost one of the last places where this pest has come into coffee. And unfortunately, when we look at all the other coffee growing areas of the world, coffee berry borer has not been eradicated. It's been managed, and in some cases quite well. But it's one of those kinds of things that it's difficult to eradicate with the tools that we currently have.
So at this point, no precedent of a successful eradication method. There's nothing to draw on experience from another country.
Not that we're aware of, because you know it's such a small insect, and when it does get into the coffee, sometimes it's years before people even recognize that it's a problem. So I think technology being what it is, I think there's a lot of hope to move the technology forward with possible control measures for coffee berry borer, but that is, I think, the focus of research and trying to understand the dynamics of this pest and how we might be able to attack it on a scale that would result in getting rid of it.
Well, you know, this is a problem that maybe Dr. Jang in the past might have been solved by bringing in another species to, you know, eat them, are to use a pesticide, and both those methods have, we've seen the downside of those methods in a big way in Hawaii, haven't we?
Well, some of them have had some negative impacts, but some have been quite successful. Some of the best evidences we have for managing some of these pests are the introduction of biological control agents.
Really?
And the state of Hawaii is one of the premier groups that that work in this particular area. It's been able to reduce greatly the problems that we've had with many of the pests. Having said that,
well, that's pretty,
there are some issues with that we have to be careful not to introduce biological control agents that would inadvertently become pests on their own. So we've had both examples here in Hawaii.
Well, that's interesting. Let me just interject something, because we usually hear about the biological control methods that have failed. Those are the ones that seem to get a lot of our attention. But there are instances of successful ones. Is that what you're saying?
I think there's far more evidence of the successful ones that result in things being controlled without necessarily a lot of hoopla, a lot of press. But
yeah.
But now the insects are under control, and we've had several excellent examples of that, primarily through the Hawaii Department of Agriculture.
Well, that's interesting, because now just about any use of a pesticide is going to be deplored by many, and just about any introduction of a species is going to get a lot of people up on their hind legs. I mean, that's is some of that perception not accurate, or are we ruling out options we maybe shouldn't be ruling out?
I think we need to look at all options, but I think you're 100% right that the use of, especially hard organophosphate pesticides and non-biological methods are probably not looked at quite as in the way they were in the past. The island is a very fragile ecosystem, and we need to do all we can to protect that. And so the dialogue, the discussion on how best to manage invasive pests have to look at economic concerns. We have to look at the concerns of the organic growers versus the non-organic growers. There's a number of issues that belay this kind of discussion, but I think the educated public is well aware of these kinds of discussions that have to take place if we're going to move forward agriculturally here on the Big Island.
Well, at this point, you have a beleaguered crop. How beleaguered is it? In terms of percentages, how much of the crop has been affected? Do you have any way of getting a ballpark on that?
Some of the the seat of the pants estimates that we're getting from growers and producers and people who process the coffee range anywhere from 5% if they're careful in controlling it to maybe 60% in unmanaged fields. So it could be quite a range there, but it depends a lot on the initiative of the grower and the processors to manage the pest.
Well, it sounds like you're doing some very valuable work, Dr. Jang. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Dr. Eric Jang is a supervisory research entomologist and research leader and acting center director at the USDA Agricultural Research Service, U.S. Pacific Basin, in Hilo, Hawaii. You can learn more about efforts to eradicate the coffee berry borer on our HPR2.org website.